Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.
Art Summit Ireland takes place in the Merrion Hotel on November the 3rd this year. The annual event brings together art, law and business and aims to provide a unique analysis of the art ecosystem from artist to asset. How about that? Business nous and aesthetic creativity, though, make uneasy bedfellows at the best of times. So with many art forms falling foul of the digital age, how is fine art surviving and just how viable is the industry as a whole? Well, with us in studio to answer these questions, we have three art world aficionados and speakers at the summit. They are the Managing Director of Adams Auction House, Mr. James O'Halloran, art consultant Jane Beattie, and internationally renowned Irish sculptor Rowan Gillespie. You're all very welcome to the programme and thanks for coming in. Rowan, I want to start with you as somebody, as a sculptor, somebody who's been in the business a long time. The business of art, you learned the hard way. You tell a tale of working through an agent in New York and maybe losing a lot of money and then later seeing this same agent being marched off to jail and saying, well, that's the guy who robbed me. Tell me about that awful experience.
Well, actually, just went to jail, I think, a week ago or something, and I was amazed when I read it. But, yeah, the very first exhibition I had in New York, while the exhibition was on, which I thought was going rather well, I kept phoning each week to find out how things were progressing. And suddenly I got no answer at all from the gallery. That carried on. And then I found the gallery had closed down. All my work was gone. I never got back the sculptures that weren't sold.
No way.
And I didn't get paid for the ones that were sold, which taught me a lesson very quickly. Now, I did actually get back a lot of the sculptures and I did get some of the money, so things improved later. But then the man was doing the same thing with Yoko Ono and people like that later on. And
wow.
He's been taken to task for it. But I did meet the best businessman I've ever known through that exhibition, and he helped me enormously from that day on. And so I actually got it came out good for me.
Okay. Now, and having learned the hard way, and again, that was an unfortunate incident, you firmly believe that the business of art is better left not to the artist. Is that your view, or am I?
I feel distinctly uncomfortable if I think of artists getting too close to the idea of putting a value on their work and thinking in business terms. But we do all have to make a living somehow.
Sure.
I was a father 21 years old and I had to earn money. And that meant I was totally dependent upon galleries. I mean, it's through galleries that my name got out there, and gradually it's evolved to auction houses and other ways, but galleries are the way.
Okay, let me bring in Jane Beattie. She's an art consultant. Jane, tell us a little bit about your world as an art consultant. What do you actually do?
What do I do? Well, I formerly worked for James,
right,
in a previous life, but I advise people on various aspects of the market, Bobby. Things, I advise people who'd like to collect things and I advise people who'd like to sell things. On the selling end of things, it can be managing private sales or it can be placing things with the appropriate auction house or in the right venue to maximise value for the seller.
So typically then, if I'm a seller and I find a painting up in the attic that I think might be worth something, I ring up Jane Beattie and I say, I wonder, could you find a buyer for this for me, Jane? How much do you think it's worth? Is that the kind of, and then you would facilitate that
exactly
all the way through the sale till I got my money?
Exactly. Well, what you've just pointed out, someone who finds a picture in their attic, they might find it once in a lifetime. So it's often a process that can be daunting for people who are not familiar with various aspects of the market. So we'd look at their painting. We would decide what context it's best sold in, whether it might be best sold privately. If I had a potential buyer for it, I might introduce buyer and seller. Or if it were something that someone like James could sell successfully, I would broker a deal between his auction house and my vendor. And you know, that I do that at various levels.
So. Okay, so you're acutely a person in the middle of a transaction,
exactly,
on both the buying and the selling. And when we say art, does that mean antiques, paintings, sculpture, the whole A to Z.
I'm what we call a generalist in the industry, so I deal in pictures and furniture and works of art as well.
Sounds fascinating. Now let me talk to the love joy of the trio. He's Mr. James O'Halloran, and he's the Managing Director of Adams Auction House. James, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby.
I walk by your premises every day and I'm fascinated by what I see in the window, and I'm intrigued also as to how your actually business model works. So you might explain the workings, the business workings of Adams Auction House.
Well, I suppose in general terms the business is quite a complicated one, but we can distill it down into a fairly manageable process whereby we act as a middleman between a vendor, the person who owns an object, and the eventual purchaser who buys things at an auction. So we, in many ways, would be the conduit between two parties who want, in the one place, to sell, and in the other case, who wants to buy something.
And does it work on the basis that you might say, OK, we're doing 1916, so I assemble a whole load of 1916 things of various artifacts, and then I have an exhibition or an auction?
Yes.
With so I might be just selling one piece, but you might be representing hundreds.
Absolutely. In any auction, we could have as many as 100 different vendors, because we might have as many as 1,000 lots in an auction. Now, not in the normal run of things, but we had one a couple of weeks ago up in Townley Hall, and it was just short of 1,000 lots. So there was a lot of vendors and equally an awful lot of buyers.
So, James, just so I understand, and our listeners will be interested in the fee model. So if I arrive with a painting that you hope and would get $2,000 for, how much of that $2,000 goes to you, the agent?
The normal charge for selling a picture at that sort of level would be 10% plus VAT.
OK. So, and so is VAT 23%?
Yes.
OK. So that makes sense.
But it's only charged on the fee.
Yeah.
The VAT isn't charged on the whole lot.
OK. OK. All right.
So it's a relatively small amount.
In terms of getting raw material for your auctions and finding, ferreting out good stock, as they say, how do you do that?
We do that principally through advertising, but also because people know who we are. We've been around since 1887, and we have a reputation for working and dealing with work at a particular level. So if somebody has a Paul Henry or a Jack Yates or a McGonagall or whatever, they will usually think of us. Now, there are other people, obviously, in our business. So, generally speaking, people will go and they'll shop around. But it's I think they like the sense that we've been around for so long and we know what we're at.
Just before I go back to Rowan and bring him in the years of the recession, typically how much would art have fallen in percentage terms, or is that too broad a question?
Well, it's a difficult question, because during the height of the boom in sort of 2004 to 2007, people were paying astronomical prices, which were just beyond everybody's comprehension.
Yeah.
They were paying 4, 5, 6, 10 times the estimate that was published in the catalogue. So they were going against all the recognised
wisdom. As they were with houses as well.
Absolutely. And I would say that over the course then of the first maybe 3 or 4 years of the downturn, that values went down at least 50%.
Okay, wow. Right, okay. Rowan, I wanted to get back to you because I'm intrigued around how people value art, as in something that's worth $20,000 to me might be worth $200,000 to somebody else.
Well, you be lucky. Be lucky in that situation.
And I'm sure you do get lucky. Because I see a piece here that you said that you had a few pieces a couple of years ago that you would have been happy to let go for 15 or 20,000, but eventually got sold through Sotheby's for 200,000. So artists should keep the art end of things and let the experts do the business side. A further validation of your stance
well,
on keeping.
Unfortunately, it doesn't always go that
right.
way. Quite often, it can go down.
But I just saw
that
and said, "Wow!"
But that was phenomenal. Yes, and it was a piece that if somebody had come to me and said, "I'll give you 15,000 for that sculpture," I would have been delighted, gone off, and
wow.
been thrilled.
That is incredible.
But once you get two people bidding against each other at an auction, you don't know where it might finish up.
Yeah.
Now, it could have been with just one person that the same buyer could have got the sculpture for 15,000.
Yeah.
It just needed somebody to bid against it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is incredible. That's the power of the auction.
It's an incredibly exciting world to deal with. But I don't think artists should be thinking of those things.
At the top end of the business, is it kind of like stocks and shares, as in that people have a kind of a, that they buy and sell with that kind of mentality?
It totally hurts me to say it. I mean,
but that is true, is it not?
There's definitely at the top end of the market. When you're talking about millions being spent,
yeah,
there has to be something of that going on. But I think any artist would want to think that people buy it because they want it and they love it.
Do you build your values, and I assume you do, on the basis of your reputation, i.e., you know, like on any career trajectory, let's call it, you start with something, you get known for your work, other people. So is it kind of an incremental improvement in terms of the work that you do, or do you feel more confident, maybe say, about asking for a lot more money now than you would have, say, 10 years ago? How does that work?
I have a strange way of working because I do my own bronze casting, do all my own casting, and I price out from pots of bronze.
Okay.
How many pots did that one take? And I say, well, I want to get so many thousand per pot. Now, I have increased that amount somewhat through the years, but so has bronze gone up in price. And that's where somebody like James or Jane come in, or my gallery, the Solomon Fine Art, would put a price on it. I would not get involved in that side of things.
Yeah, yeah. But again, you clearly have your own business model.
Well, like to think of myself as an old foundryman. That kind of keeps me grounded with the whole thing.
That's great. Jane, you come from the auction world. Tell me about and again, Rowan mentioned it there. Tell me about the power of the auction. Is it about the buzz at the auction? Is it about having a really good collection of things that people are interested in? The brochure is important. The buzz on the day, fellas ringing in on the phone, people spotting people.
Yeah, nowadays, Bobby, I think more than ever, and James would, I'm sure, agree with me, a lot of interest is garnered in the auction world through PR and marketing.
Yeah.
The large houses, Christie's, Sotheby's, the international houses, Bonhams, they have huge PR machines behind them. So if they have collections that are consigned, they'll show them in various parts of the world where they might be relevant. They'll talk to private buyers. They'll talk to galleries. They'll advertise through appropriate avenues in the media. It's very driven by the areas that drive other businesses nowadays.
Is there two types of customers on the basis that there might be somebody who's buying something to make a profit on it and somebody who's buying something because they love the art? Explain, that'd be my logic, but I might be incorrect in saying that.
No, I think you're correct. I think there are, broadly speaking, two types of buyers. There are collectors, and those people tend to be very passionate about what they buy. That's not to say they won't look at what they're spending prudently, but they'll be passion driven, and often they will stretch themselves in terms of their finances to buy the right piece for their collection. I think investors might look at what they're buying in a more detached way.
Yeah.
They might look at the figures and crunch the numbers a bit more. But I think ultimately it's very hard not to become emotionally involved in art. And that's the difference, I think, between the stock market and the art market. Whilst you might start off in an emotionally detached way, you know, it's a bit of a bug.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll catch it.
James, last question to you. On the basis that, you know, art and fine art, and it's a bit like yachting or Formula One motor racing. How do you get the message out that this is maybe not just for the elitists, that there is a role here for the everyman, that there, you know, that you don't have to be high end, gilt edge to enjoy a nice piece of art?
Sure, I think that's really a hard thing for a lot of auction houses to achieve, is to get the message through to, let's say, younger people who might only have, you know, a few hundred to spend, as opposed to the people who are spending tens of thousands, you know, the more established. But what we do is we obviously use social media quite a lot. We identify groups of people who are interested in art, who are Facebook friends of IMA or the National Gallery. And we will try and encourage those people to have a look at our website.
Yeah.
where our catalogues are put online, and they will see, looking through the catalogues, that, you know, not everything that's in an Adams catalogue, you know, is going to be in the thousands. We would sell quite a lot of good things which might only, because they're out of fashion or they're small or they're pencil or whatever, you know, that might only be a few hundred. And they're the sort of people that we love to get in because they are interested in the work of art for itself, yeah, as opposed to thinking about investment. I think investment is an important aspect for anybody who's spending a lot of money on something, but there's a lot of people out there who are buying because they love the art and they see something that they just feel that they've got to have. And as Jane said, they will go to whatever lengths they have to in order to acquire it, okay, so that they can live with it.
Well, listen, it's a fascinating subject. It's one I could talk about all day. I'd really like to thank my guests, Rowan Gillespie, a sculptor, James O'Halloran, the Managing Director of Adams Auction House, and Jane Beattie, an art consultant. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby.
Down to business on Newstalk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.